Cale Clark here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Relevant Radio and get a free phone. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com.
Fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Hello and welcome to the program. My name is Brooke Taylor, in for Cale Clark. Today, always a pleasure to be with you. We have a special show on this Monday and a lot to get to, not just one, but two outstanding guests on the program. Father Doug Brown, pastor of Mary Queen of Peace Parish in Cleveland, Ohio, and Cleveland Police Chaplain, is with us. In his role, he has a unique, a privileged insight into the men and women who protect and serve. And we're going to take a rare look inside the police chaplaincy from the perspective of Father Brown. And our second guest, I think, will not only build on some of the themes we hear about with Father Brown as our first guest, but also our current culture. He is Connor Gallagher, the CEO of Tan Books and author of the book Still Amidst the Storm, A Family Man's Search for Peace in an Anxious World. And that, I think, is something we can all relate to, especially after the pandemic in the last few years. So jam-packed and grace-filled, we pray. Our studio lines are open. 1-888-941-9149 is the number to call. Happy to take your calls for either or both guests this evening. So let's jump in. One of the longest running contemporary Christian, it's not Christian, but it kind of is. The program Blue Bloods that's been on TV is also, I think, one of the only series that my husband and I will watch on television. And there's a great clip in there about family. And that's one of the reasons that I really like the program, is it focuses on family. And every show ends with a Sunday dinner and a prayer around the table. And if you don't know the plot, the show revolves around the Reagan family. They are a multi-generational family of cops dedicated to New York City law enforcement. Frank Reagan, who's played by Tom Selleck, is the New York Police Commissioner and heads both the police force, but also the Reagan family. And Henry, his dad, retired now, but also former police commissioner, lives in the home. He's the patriarch of the family. And I want to play a clip from an episode in which he reflects on loss and ultimately God's mercy and providence. And I want you to listen to that as we kind of set the tone for the interview you're about to hear. Take a listen.
Son, I don't know why Chief McKenna got sick from the air down there and you didn't. Just like I don't know why he took Mary and Joe from us too soon. But I see God's light in this family every day. And though I may not understand it, I trust in his plan for us all.
Amen. You know, clips like that give me hope. There's virtue yet on primetime TV to be found, and we need more of it. But that particular episode was a 9/11 tribute show. And I think when I look back, at least in my memory, and I think for a lot of us, that it felt like when you go back to 9/11, respect and appreciation for first responders and law enforcement was at an all-time high. But then we skip ahead to the summer of 2020, the death of George Floyd, the tragedy there, and also the summer of riots, and then the movement to defund police. And we know that attitudes have drastically shifted. And sometimes criticism is warranted, sometimes it's completely off base. But in the midst of the rhetoric, there are real people who are in the line of fire, literally, and continuing to go out with fidelity to serve and protect. And in July of this year, and it was kind of under the radar, there was a Senate Judiciary Committee and law enforcement witness meeting about this, blaming recent violence against officers on anti-police rhetoric. So we're seeing this, and now the government's taking notice. And so our first guest today is a servant of those who serve, and it's such a privilege to be able to hear from him, his heart and his shepherd, the gift, the charism he's been given to help serve those who do serve. Pastor of Mary Queen of Peace Parish in Cleveland, Ohio, and chaplain of the Cleveland Police Department. Welcome to the show, Father Doug Brown. Welcome, Father.
Hi, Brooke. It's great to be with you today. It's terrific, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to talk about one of my passions, in addition to my parish work, my love for God and His people. My work with police officers is so inspiring to me, and I'm grateful for this opportunity. So thank you for that.
And I know you're spread thin. You have so many responsibilities. So we're grateful for your time. And I want to just start, before we get into your role and what you've learned and maybe how we can best support those who serve, your own story. It's really interesting and personal how you got involved. I know that your great-grandfather was also a police officer. So it runs in your family.
That's true. Yeah, my great-grandfather was a Cleveland police officer. And he was killed in the line of duty in 1917. He was shot by somebody. Somebody was harassing a patron at a local store. I've heard different variations of this. But what it came down to is that my great-grandfather, William Brown, was shot and died a few days later at the hospital. And so when I do this work and when I'm involved, especially with Police Memorial Week in May, I always make a point to see my great-grandfather's name on the large police memorial downtown Cleveland. And then also they have a badge case of all officers who have lost their lives in the line of duty. And that's very moving for me and helps me to be, I think, a better chaplain.
And I'm just thinking about the timing of that. You said he was killed in 1917, and 99 years later, almost a century turns, and you become chaplain, Cleveland Police Department. So what an amazing turn of events. And I want to ask, I guess, how that came to be, but also, what are your responsibilities as chaplain, just to kind of set the foundation for those that might not know the range of responsibilities that you have?
So this is an additional responsibility, and I don't get paid for this, at least not in monetary wealth. I get paid certainly in other ways. The benefits are great, but it's an unpaid position. It's an additional responsibility to my pastoral work at the parish. And there are about 20 chaplains for the Cleveland Police Department of a variety of different faith backgrounds. Now, I'm the only Catholic one, and that wasn't, I don't know if that was originally planned, but that's the way it's worked out. And so with my role, the responsibilities I have is to be available when needed. So sometimes that is in the middle of the night. Can you go to this hospital? Can you be with this family? Can you be with our grieving officers? Or it could be ceremonial. I've done police academy graduation. I've done award ceremonies. And sometimes a lot of my work, the longer I've been a chaplain, the more a lot of it has developed into one-on-one work with officers and reaching out to officers that I know are struggling, that I know are hurting. And most times it's just listening to them. It's not necessarily preaching the faith, you know, in the famous words of St. Francis of Assisi, whether he said it or not, I don't know. But, you know, preach the gospel often and use words when necessary. And I follow that, Brooke, because I think that's very important in my role as a police chaplain.
I want to make sure we give people an opportunity to connect with you while you're on. So I'm just going to give the phone lines again. It's 1-888-914-9149. Father Doug Brown is with us, chaplain of Cleveland Police Department. And you talked about the stress, and it is a high stress job. We know that for law enforcement officers. But I want to look a little bit at the statistics, the landscape. We know that police departments across the country are understaffed. That means cops routinely work 24-hour shifts. And I'm reading the statistics now. Law enforcement agencies spend $136 billion every year on fatigue-related medical conditions. Police officers have a shorter lifespan than other professions, higher rates of cancer, broken hips and knees, mental health issues, cortisol, adrenaline, high stress, as I mentioned. And it's something you and I know very well. In fact, just thinking about recently, a dear friend of mine and yours, a parishioner at your parish, Officer Vicki Shabilski, a Cleveland police officer who was diagnosed with cancer, and we both attended her fundraiser. And so when you look at that, I guess with your role and the years you've walked alongside these officers, what do you want people to know about the men and women and what you observe about them every day?
That they truly all entered this profession to help people and to serve people, not to exercise power or authority, but to try to really help people and help their community. That's why they became a part of any police department. And so their love for wanting to do good and help others overrides anything else. Now, as everyone says, there are always bad apples in every bunch, and that's true. However, I think the good far outweigh the bad. And in many ways, I've said this often to officers I know, that there is a very similar perspective about police officers and priests. And we share a lot of the same challenges and frustrations and joys as well. So there's a lot of similarities in our professions. And I think that's not always understood.
Well, and it's something I was considering in just preparing for this interview too, because you think about the uniform and you think about, as a priest, you go out and you are wearing your vocation essentially. And with whether it's the media or, of course, we know there's spiritual warfare. And then sometimes there truly is a story or a scandal that is a scourge for everyone. And you receive it, you receive all of it. And it's really astonishing, though, when you look at just the stories. I can't imagine on a daily, you know, ride along and just the day in the life on the job, in a split second, these law enforcement officers are expected to react with either the wisdom of a monk or a psychologist or the reflexes of a ninja while you're being recorded, likely. Of course, you have your own body cam, but through smartphones and everything now. And so I'm just wondering, for you yourself, as you mentioned some of the similarities and the pressures and the high stress that these law enforcement officers are encountering every day, is there a favorite prayer or devotion that you have or that you have found, of course, St. Michael, but among the police force that really has resonated or helped and really dispensed grace?
I mean, certainly the St. Michael prayer is very powerful. The Serenity prayer is also a great prayer, because there are so many things that we have no control over, and the things we have to accept, and if we choose to accept them and adapt to them, it's going to be a little bit easier for us in the long run. So I often share the Serenity prayer with officers, because it's short, it's simple. And it's easy to memorize. And it's a great reminder that we take things one day at a time, and we take things as they come. We don't get too far into the future. We don't rehash the past. We look at today and the day that God has given us, and we're grateful for it.
Boy, that is such a beautiful compliment to Connor Gallagher, who's coming up, and what he has to say, because it speaks to the peace and the sacrament of the moment, which really is the antidote for so much anxiety. And we'll unpack that a little bit later. But I want to take a call from Joanne. Joanne is from Portland, Maine. Welcome to the program, Joanne. You are on with Father Doug Brown, a chaplain with the Cleveland Police Department.
Hi, Father Brown. I just want to thank you for your work. My dad was a Boston police officer for 30-plus years, worked predominantly at Boston Harbor, but would occasionally, as they all do, take extra work assignments. And he was killed in the line of duty while directing traffic in downtown Boston. I've also been in touch with Father Dan Brandt through the Chicago Police Chaplaincy Ministry by chance, because we prayed for one of his commanders, Paul Bauer, 5 years of coming up on 5 years ago, when he was involved in a confrontation unexpectedly with a criminal. And actually, it was a relevant radio listener whose son was one of his officers, and he called his mother for prayer. She in turn called Drew Mariani, and he put it right on the air, and we prayed the chaplet. I've been in touch with Father Brandt and his work ever since. The fact that you're unpaid, as an emergency department nurse, I know what it's like to have to call a priest at 3 a.m. when a family is needing support. So I give you all the credit in the world. And I just recall it was the week before Christmas when those two police officers showed up at the door to gather my mother and brother, and I had to follow later. The priest that was holding my mother's hand in the waiting room, she wasn't looking up. He had a leather jacket on. She was looking down. He was holding her hand, and she said, "What division are you with?" And he said, "Well, I'm Father Carr. I'm the chaplain." And I mean, she needed that hand right then. So I thank you so much for the work you're doing.
Oh, gosh, Joanne, those are beautiful words. And Father Brandt is a great model of police chaplaincy work. He is everywhere. I mean, wherever anything is happening in Chicago, Father Brandt is there. And really, I'm glad that you're in touch with him and that you're also praying for the Chicago officers. And I ask for your prayers as well, not only for the Boston officers, but for the Cleveland officers, too, and all police officers throughout the country. But gosh, thanks for sharing your story. It's really beautiful.
Amen. Thank you so much, Joanne, and for your family. And Father Brown, you think about the training that officers get. And as I was reading the statistics, I don't even think I got to the psychologist's findings of how mental health-wise, there are some parallels between Vietnam veterans and our officers currently because of how the very people that they are laying down their life to serve, they're often or sometimes receiving criticism or that they're not wanted. And that's very difficult mental health wise. There were also more deaths, police officer deaths in the last year than in the last two decades. So it is something that we have to pay attention to, pray for, and also try to maybe understand so that we can change this. And when you look at the training, in the police academy, there is not a course. There's no special training in the existential, you know, in living the vocation that they've been called to in terms how to care for the soul. But obviously, it needs to be addressed. So I'm just wondering if you have any thoughts about that, because these men do, you know, we have a soul. They have a soul, and that also needs to be cared for.
Well, there's a great book, and while it's not necessarily spiritually based, it certainly has been a great aid to me. It's called Emotional Survival for Law Enforcement, A Guide for Officers and Their Families. It's by Kevin M. Gilmartin, PhD. And you can find it over Amazon. It's a great book about, you know, dealing with the emotional issues that come with the responsibility of being a police officer, and how there is this concept called hypervigilance that officers can't turn off. So that's why the old joke about, you know, police officers always sit, you know, facing the door because they want to see who's coming in. They're always on guard. They're always watching. That can be difficult to live with for a loved one. And this book is really a helpful resource for families. So I think that is most helpful. There are also some other books available that are devotional books for police officers, I think, that are also real good as well. And I know that a lot of I recommend a lot of books to officers from different places. So there's one called A Police Officer's Devotional, and I'm not even sure that is published by maybe Holy Heroes, but it's great. And there's a lot of good information in there, too. So those are two good resources.
And we will link those up in the show notes. I want to make sure the one first you mentioned was Emotional Survival.
Yes, for law enforcement.
Okay. For law enforcement. Okay. And we will link that up in the show notes as well. I'll also plug Connor Gallagher. He has a book and it's called Still Amidst the Storm, A Family Man's Search for Peace in an Anxious World. And we will explore it a little bit later. But I just think for law enforcement and really for everyone living in our age, because it examines how pervasive anxiety is, how to deal with stress, how we might be filled with the peace of Christ. And I think contemplation, and as you mentioned, understanding the sacrament of the present moment and our Lord's presence through it all, not to worry or dwell too much in the past, not to focus or worry too much of the future, but the gift of now and contemplation. And I had a chance to visit your parish on my birthday this year, which is August 22nd. And it also happens to be the feast of the Queenship of Mary, which is the patronal feast of your parish, Mary, Queen of Peace. And so my son, we went together, took a little bit of a road trip there and prayed the rosary along with compline in Latin by candlelight at your parish. And at the conclusion of the evening, when I went to the back to light a family or, you know, a candle for my family, my life, Thanksgiving, there was, I saw the image of the Holy Face of Jesus. And this is a devotion, I think, that just fits so perfectly into the life of those who serve in law enforcement, because here we are invited to see the countenance of Christ as he willingly laid down his life for us and for those who would spit upon him and blaspheme him. And what a powerful reminder of the nobility of all Christians that we've been called to, but also with what many in that field of work experience every day in this kind of self-oblation that they have been called to fulfill. And one of the promises of our Lord in that devotion to the Holy Face is, I will preserve them and assure them final perseverance. And so I think as we pray for all law enforcement, that with the grace of God, they will persevere with fidelity and virtue, that God will protect them because they are this thin blue line between law and tyranny and order and anarchy. And for you too, and all chaplains who are called to do this work. And I guess as we wrap up, I just want to, you know, ask that question as a takeaway is, what do you think officers need more of, and how can we support and come alongside them to pray and encourage?
I believe support and prayers. I think reminders to officers about, you know, why they got involved with this in the first place. And sometimes in the day-to-day routine that happens, and it can happen for all of us, Brooke, is that we lose sight of why we began something. And it's important for us to return to our roots on occasion and say, this is why I'm doing this. This is why this is important. So I think that the faithful and others can help officers recall those things, offering that support and then helping them, reminding them in some ways, this is why you're doing this. I think that can be very powerful.
That's beautiful. And we thank you. We thank you for your fidelity. And for all that you do. And I think the years that you've been there must be a benefit, because trust takes time to build, and just your presence and your consistency is a powerful witness. So we thank you, Father Doug Brown, pastor of Mary Queen of Peace Parish and Cleveland Police Chaplain. Thank you for all you do.
Thanks, Brooke. God bless you, and God bless all your listeners.
Thank you. God bless you. At the top of the show, I said we had a lot to cover, and boy, do we. A big thank you again to Father Brown, and just very grateful for him to take the time to join us today. And that will really lead us into our second guest coming up. So much of what Father Brown talked about there, we will be able to apply with the techniques, the insights of our next guest. And this is really a conversation for everyone, because we're talking about finding peace. The name of the book is Still Amidst the Storm, A Family Man's Search for Peace in an Anxious World. And the author is Connor Gallagher. He's the CEO of Tan Books, friend of Relevant Radio, husband, father of 15, and he has a masterclass for us through lived experience, which we will explore as he shares also in the book. And that is up next here on The Cale Clark Show. My name is Brooke Taylor, in for Cale. You're listening to Relevant Radio. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Cale Clark. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. They're a pro-life phone company, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to Relevant Radio or another pro-life charity of your choice. For a limited time, new customers who mention offer code Relevant Radio get a free phone with free activation and free shipping. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com. The Catholic Order of Foresters, the sponsor of our studio's line, is hiring today. Several positions are available throughout the United States. Visit relevantradio.com/forester to learn more about how you can find your vocation with Catholic Order of Foresters, an Illinois Life Insurance Society, not licensed in all states.
faith and how you can live it and share it too. It's the Cale Clark Show. Have a question? Give Cale a call at 888-914-9149.
My wife's side's like really happy and they encourage things, right? They like do retreats as a family. They work on their inner self. We work on our inner self. They do therapy. My family don't do any of this. No therapy, no bettering. It's like, this is it. What are you gonna do? Change? This is you. No one's popping pills on my side. Nobody's on antidepressants. My father's like, I've been depressed for 30 years.
That is Sebastian Maniscalco. He is a comedian. Mom is Italian. Dad is Sicilian, if you could deduce that. And he has some hilarious, quite a few funny bits about living and growing up in an old school immigrant family. And it's an interesting look at how we might approach two different approaches to handling the challenges of our modern age, anxiety, depression, and living in an age of continual noise and distraction. It has created a culture unlike any in the history of civilization. We're going to talk a little bit about that with our next guest. Welcome back to the show. My name is Brooke Taylor, in for Cale today. And our next guest is a friend of Relevant Radio, and I've had a chance to interview him one other time about his book about raising saints, Parenting for Eternity. And it today is going to be a bit of an abbreviated masterclass in how we might obtain peace of soul, depth, virtue. And he is the author of the book that explores that, Still Amidst the Storm, A Family Man's Search for Peace in an Anxious World, CEO of Tan Books, husband and father of 15. So he's been there, done that, no doubt, when it comes to facing every distraction under the sun, I'm sure. Welcome to the show, Connor Gallagher.
Thank you, Brooke. It's a pleasure to be here again talking to you. I had such a great time last time, so I'm excited. Thank you.
Likewise, and I said in your bio, 15, does it still hold at 15 children?
It still holds, unless I get news later today.
So it's possible. And we're here. Now, I was excited to find this book because I know all about Parenting for Eternity. I've shared it. I've read it. I've highlighted it. This book of yours we're going to talk about isn't new. You actually wrote it before the pandemic, but I just think that that was prophetic timing because things have only gotten worse, I think, when it comes to, of course, anxiety, searching for peace. And so I'm just curious, your perspective when writing that, how interesting it's been to see that then the years unfold and what you've had to say really, I think, was driven by the Holy Spirit.
Well, thank you, Brooke. And I do think, I don't want to say it was prophetic, but I think, you know, I guess I'm an amateur philosopher at heart, and the signs are there for everyone to see that our modern world, especially in this country in this time with the digital era, it's at an all-time high of anxiety. And in fact, before COVID, when I'm going around giving talks about this book, Still Amidst the Storm, my opening line always was, you are living in the midst of a pandemic. A pandemic of anxiety, and then the actual pandemic hit. So, I mean, it's really strange. So now when I give the talk, I have to say, you're living in a spiritual pandemic, and it's called anxiety, stress, worry, concern, whatever you want to call it. And the physical medical pandemic of COVID has really just put it on steroids, taken it to a whole nother level. But, you know, I guess I have good and bad news for you, Brooke, the way I think about this. The bad news is that just because the masks have come off and, you know, the vaccination, obsession is kind of tampering down and people are getting back to normal. That's good news. But the bad news, Brooke, is that none of this is actually going to go away. The anxiety and stress of our modern world is here to stay, just like sin is in the world and here to stay. So for your listeners, we, especially as parents with children growing up in this anxiety-ridden world and in the post-COVID world, we're going to have to find a path of survival for peace and serenity and joy and happiness Don't think that because COVID is going away that we're going to, that society and culture is going to find its way back to peace. It's not. It's just going to have some other thing beyond COVID to make it worse and worse and worse. And as Catholics, with the truth, with the faith, with the saints, with prayer, we, the good news is we know how to have peace no matter what's going on around us. And that's what Tan's called to do, is to help people find that. And that's what I'm trying to do in the little books that I write, because it's here to stay, but we have a path to peace and happiness during this life. It's the Catholic faith.
And it is here to stay, as you said, because studies are bearing that out with anxiety, depression. When you look at the rates out there, it really does touch on all socioeconomic levels, age demographics, and gender. And not only that, but it's happening younger and younger. And you talk about, yes, we have identified the malady, but what is the source of that? And I love when you open the pages right from the beginning. You take us to literally the beginning. You take us to Genesis, Genesis 3, 5, and 6. Can you talk about that? Because I think that's really emblematic of this whole setting of how we understand what Pope John Paul II would say, this cosmic drama.
Yes, absolutely. So I think that when sin entered the world, in fact, I have a cute little thing I talk about, you know, Eve and Adam and Eve are sitting there perfectly happy, perfectly content. They're not worried about their 401k, their retirement plan. They're not worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. They're not stressed out about, you know, what happened yesterday. They're not resentful about what happened yesterday. But then Satan enters into the picture and he tells Eve something very interesting. He says, if you eat this fruit, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. He tells Eve that she's not good enough as she is and that God's keeping something from her. And so all of a sudden she has this longing. She has this anxiety that I'm not good enough. I don't look good enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't have everything. And so the first sin is, of course, disobedience to God. But it's also this desire for something that we don't have. It created this unhealthy longing. And so that's sort of the first sin. And so she wanted to be like God. And ever since then, men and women have tried to, you know, make their bodies better, make their social life better, searching for progress and improvement and always seeking something beyond the peace and contentment that God has already offered them in their life. So we can see the whole history of the world in our own lives, especially. It all started right there in the Garden of Eden when Eve was not content with what God gave her. When we strive for something more than what God has given us, we usually end up in misery.
It's so true. And I think too, it's hard to know how to break free. Our work never feels done. Even last night, my husband is an IT director. And so he uses this tech vocabulary. And he said, I have too many tabs open. I need to close some tabs. And just that there are so many things out there. And I think that I could relate to that. I know for all of us, we want to simplify and we don't even know where to begin. And we know through neuroscience, we have neuroplasticity, we can adapt to a lot, but the cognitive load that some of us are carrying is just beyond healthy. And so I really love that you kind of, again, you identify the issue. So we're talking about Eve and again, sin, but also that we get into trouble when we look back or when we look forward. And maybe you can talk a little bit about that, the Latin meaning of resentment and how we get ourselves into this bundle of anxiety and not even realizing it and not knowing how to break free. And part of that is because we didn't know how we got there. And you really lay out that path for us.
Well, the word resentment, which we all use, you know, I resent that, or I have resentment against this childhood injury or whatever it may be. It comes from the Latin word sentire, and so that means to feel, right? So sensual, you know, that means to feel something. And so when we re-sentire, it means we re-feel. And so a resentment usually is accompanying, you know, this past memory, whether it's an embarrassing thing that we did and we can't seem to let it go, or whether someone else has hurt us. And so we re-feel it every time we invoke the memory. Or sometimes it's hurting us subconsciously. We don't even know it's hurting us. So that's when we live in the past, Brooke. So God has us in the present moment. And God is only in the present moment. The past is gone. It is history. And the future might not ever be. Like, the world might end in like 3 seconds. 2, 1. Okay, it didn't. But it could have. And it could happen again in 3 seconds. So it might not ever happen. But the past, usually when the past is hurting us, it's very often because of resentment. We're re-feeling the wounds, and we have to ask God to take that from us. And we have to try to not let our minds go there. And when you're driving around the car and you're sitting at red lights and you're thinking about the past wounds and you're thinking about how your spouse just made you angry or your kids angered you or your boss insulted you or your parents hurt you when you were children or whatever it may be, we have to learn to silence that memory and silence that re-feeling, because it usually doesn't do us much good. But then when we have anxiety, that's usually focused on the future. And so, again, sin takes us out of the present moment and into the future, and we worry about things that are to come. But all God wants us to do is to find him in the present moment. And so we need to learn how to look at the past or look at the future, but not stare. And that's another way I like to say, just look at the past, mm-hmm. look at the future, but don't stare. When we stare, it pulls us out of the present moment, and we leave God, because God is only in the present moment.
So that's three pillars, essentially, you set up as far as living in the present moment, and that's so key. And in order to do that, these three aspects, silence, stillness, and the present moment. And I'm wondering for you, as a father of 15, and obviously a very important businessman, and you're also trying to work on staying in shape and work on your marriage and work on your faith life, when you have, you know, all of the children, Dad, I want to tell you something, and you've got the demands and you've got your phone going off, how do you practice the present moment?
Well, you know, writing this book is a little bit like a fat guy writing a fitness and nutrition book. Okay. So it's not like I'm the expert, so therefore I'm imparting my wisdom onto everyone else. Not at all. Okay. This is like, I'm just a normal dude trying to get through the day and not do something too stupid, you know? But what I know I need to do, and when I have been successful, it's because I look throughout the day to find moments of silence. So a good example, you know, I left the office a little early today and I came home to work out. But on the way home, I thought, okay, gosh, I got to make some phone calls. I made those phone calls. No one answered. So I said, oh, I'll just listen to a podcast. I'm saying, why am I having this nervous energy of trying to have stimulus in my 30-minute car ride home? So I turn everything off and just try to have perfect silence. And actually, while I'm doing that, it's not just noise that I'm trying to prevent, Brooke, but it's also the interior noise. It's the thoughts. It's the emotions. So I was sitting there driving home just a couple hours ago, trying to just be with God on the drive home. And it's really hard. As soon as you feel your mind start to drift, you know, you have to pull it back. And then there's, of course, the practical things of finding silence in a busy family life. I mean, come on, that's kind of insane to think I can find silence in a house of 15 children. But you can do little moments of it. You can, when you're going to bed at night, don't binge watch Netflix, you know, with a jug of, ice cream. Why not, you know, do some spiritual reading and slowly drift off to sleep in silence? You know, I mean, so we're always filling our senses with too much, whether it's stimulus from audiobooks or music or Netflix or in the car on the phone. We just have to find little moments of silence. And I think our bodies rejuvenate extremely quickly. Like, God has given us an extremely rejuvenating spirit and body. It doesn't take a ton of silence to rejuvenate. But you have the obligation with your free will to find those little moments throughout the day, whether you're the mom or the dad or whatever you are, you can find it. God will give you that time and embrace it. And I think it has tremendous dividends throughout the rest of the day.
I want to read an excerpt of something you wrote about silence that I thought was so good, and I felt very guilty of it, but it's important. It's important as we examine our conscience about how we might be able, as you said, this is going to be here, the noise and the busyness and the demands of how we might pattern our virtues, our spiritual life, grow there in order to become saints in the midst of this. And silence is a big part of that. And so you write, here is the relation of chatter to silence. Chatter comes out of silence as pus from a boil. There is an infection in the soul that grows and must ooze out. Eventually, the infection comes out of the human mouth. And he called the people to him and said to them, hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a man. That's Matthew 15. I contrast this with true communication. There are many examples, but I recall one more than any other the deepest conversation I ever had included a total of 4 words. I was on my knees at the communion rail in St. Peter's Church in Steubenville, Ohio. I reached in my pocket, pulled out a small box, turned my head toward Ashley and said, "Will you marry me?" She said, "Yes." Now that was communication, a lifetime of mutual commitment said in a total of 5 words. Silence is where some of the greatest things happen. So I love that you remind us that silence isn't a void where there's nothing. It actually is something. And I think that's really important.
Yeah, I love that story. I kind of forgot that. It was nice to hear. But I mean, it's true, right? If you think back over your life, the most important moments were not a bunch of hooping, hollering, and yelling. It was something surrounding silence. Silence is always the most impactful point of a movie. It's almost always the most impactful part of a symphony. White space is often the most important part of a cool design, right? I mean, so we can just see this everywhere. But the most magical moments, the deepest moments you've had with people, with a spouse, with children, with friends, in sorrow, in love, it's moments of silence. And so, yeah, we cannot think, Brooke, we cannot think of silence as the absence of noise. It's just not that. It's something so positive, not just negative. It is a new landscape that God is able to work his miracles upon. It is not just us deleting everything. Silence is not the delete button. No, silence is a blank canvas that we fashion so that God can put his masterpiece on it. And it works almost every time. We just lack it in today's world till we forget the beauty of silence. And yet we experience it in little ways. And I'm just trying to point out to my readers, this is where the most beautiful things happen. So find it in your life today. Little ways, find it today.
You know, on a personal note, I've learned that so much because we have 5 children and our daughter, Karolina, is adopted from Poland. And we wouldn't learn until later on that after she had some developmental delays that she was severely autistic. And so even now at the age of 12, she's mostly nonverbal. And it was really interesting because I left my job as a morning show co-host and doing radio broadcasts my whole life to come home into the sanctuary of the home where I had made my living. My currency was speaking and communicating and talking and also listening, to then raising this call, this gift, this vocation to live out in fullness my daughter and my children, my sons, with my daughter who doesn't speak. And so learning that, I saw so much and continue to see our Lord and grace and joy in a different way. And I never would have seen or understood life because we get comfortable in the areas where we're good or that we're used to. But of course, we know that our Lord teaches us and dazzles us if we're just open to it and to not be afraid. And I think that's a big part of it too. We're afraid of silence sometimes. We're afraid of stillness. What is that going to mean? What am I going to feel or experience when I'm there? But again, it is the most beautiful thing and it just awaits us and the presence of the sacrament of the moment in our Lord. We have to take a quick break. Connor Gallagher is with us. His book is Still Amidst the Storm. He is the CEO of Tan Books, husband and father of 15. If you have a question, the phone lines are open, 1-888-914-9149. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question about anxiety, peace, virtue, Connor is with us for about 15 more minutes. My name is Brooke Taylor, in for Cale Clark. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The Relevant Radio Studio line is sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters Flexible Premium Life Insurance. For less than $12 a month, a 40-year-old can get $500,000 of coverage. Go to relevantradio.com/forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
Explaining the faith so you can explain it to others. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
It is already October. Advent is coming up fast. This year, celebrate the Christmas season with a beautiful nativity set. Relevant Radio is giving away 200. These nativity sets made possible by a very generous donor are hand-painted made perfect for porches, windows, front yards. It is beautiful. You can see it on the website. Display the true, humble, and profound reason for the season. Enter today, but you only have until midnight Central Time on October 16th to sign up. Proudly welcome Christ into your heart and home this year. Sign up to win today at relevantradio.com/set. That's relevantradio.com/set for a chance to win a beautiful nativity set from Relevant Radio. We are running out of time. What a fantastic conversation. I want to make sure that we get to the meat of the matter. And we really have from the beginning here with Connor Gallagher, the CEO of Tan Books, exploring the topic of his book, Still Amidst the Storm, A Family Man's Search for Peace in an Anxious World. Thank you for being part of the Cale Clark Show. My name is Brooke Taylor, in for Cale. And Connor, as we kind of wrap up here, and I still want to get to stillness. We haven't gotten to that, talking about living in the present moment. One thing I feel we have to mention, though, is the digital distraction. And it stuck out to me as I was reading your book, because this is the second time in as many interviews as that I've just done, the Screwtape Letters have come up, because when I read your book, I was thinking about that in the distraction aspect. And I had a chance to interview Dr. Joshua Hochschild here on Relevant Radio on Trending, filling in for Timory last week. And that was the topic. It was about peace and how when you look at digital algorithms and you also parallel it to the C.S. Lewis book, The Screwtape Letters, you see how closely they parallel each other. For example, Screwtape describes to Wormwood how demons color our perception. They manipulate, their dominant trait is distraction. So they manipulate our time. And when you actually examine it and how the AI algorithms work, that's what happens. And we are constantly looking for our phone. And this ability the demons have to kind of monitor our activity, our eye movements, our heartbeats, our behavior. And I'm not saying, of course, that technology is evil, but rather that there's some component baked into some platforms designed to manipulate us, which ultimately distracts us from God, from the peace that God has in store in the present sacrament of the moment. So maybe if you could talk about that, how much does technology play in here?
Yeah, it's the biggest single issue that, you know, our children are going to face. It's the iPhone, it's the iPad, it's constant. And so you're right. I mean, the AI is designed to constantly make our eyes move across the page and to turn our attention. They all want us to be kind of ADD. And that's why, you know, even YouTube shorts, you know, like 5-second videos are better than 5-minute videos, because you watch 5 seconds and 5 seconds and 5 seconds. And they're turning us into a widget that just participates in the big machinery of what I think is largely demonic cultural movements towards, addiction and obsession, which of course leads to pornography addictions for a lot of people. And it just goes down and down. So no doubt every viewer, every listener here knows that the digital onslaught is overwhelming and it's conquering our children. So we have to, as parents, we have to have the courage, the fortitude, invoke the gift of the Holy Spirit you received at confirmation, mom and dad, to have the fortitude to take the darn device away from your kids when you think is necessary. You have to have that courage. And it's a constant battle in our household, of course. You have to come up with your own protocols, you know, but you have to have the courage to, you know, take the devices away, to put restrictions on it, to put covenant eyes or, you know, other softwares to, you know, protect from evil things. But just cutting down on screen time, radically, radically cut down, is the job of the parent. But Brooke, that actually segues nicely into the third part, which is stillness. Because what that technology does is it makes us move and move and move. Our mind's always turning. And what the devil wants out of us, especially us Catholics, is progress. He wants us to move. He wants us to, as parents, he wants to keep our kids super duper busy. We have to conquer all of these things in life. We've got to be straight A students and super athletes and traveling athletes and great musicians. And he wants us addicted to progress and to get better and better at everything, because it's all good stuff, right? So he says, well, this is good. This is good. This is good. It sounds exactly like Screwtape Letters. The devil's going to convince us to do a whole bunch of good things. And he packs so much in. The result, Brooke, is the secret sin of modern times. A lot of people would say it's lust, and I think they're wrong. The sin of the modern era is sloth. That's the sin, because as we have so much addiction to progress, to busyness, the sin of sloth, which is a sadness towards spiritual goods, okay, it creeps in and it takes over our life to where we're so busy, so exhausted by the end of the day, and the digital footprint in our daily lives has a huge part to play in that. We don't have mental energy left for God. And that's the sin of sloth. And priests don't preach about it enough. People don't confess it enough. But it's the digital era that is producing the sin of sloth. And then, of course, lust and everything else will follow. Anger, envy, and greed. But it starts with sloth. And that is the secret sin that the devil has put into the belly of what I call the modern Trojan horse. He puts into the belly of the Trojan horse. The Trojan horse being the digital world. Your iPhone is like a Trojan horse. And in the belly of that is the sin of sloth. And it comes out and it conquers our family. So that ties into stillness, Brooke. We have to learn to turn these things off and be still and not have to be hamsters on the wheel chasing more and more progress every waking moment. It's driving us crazy. It's driving our children crazy. And ultimately, it leads us to hell because the sin of sloth gets its way.
And is the opposite of sloth, is that diligence? What is the opposite, the virtue to practice?
Zeal, right? So, you know, when we love God and we're joyful and excited about loving God and excited about going to Mass and excited about praying the family rosary, that's mm-hmm. the opposite of sloth.
That's good. Well, the name of the book is Still Amidst the Storm, A Family Man's Search for Peace in an Anxious World. And as Joseph Pierce has said, this little gem of a book is not worth the price it's being charged, because it is priceless. And we just got to really the surface. And it does. When we talk about being in the shallows in this age of distraction, the book is deep. It's short, but it is jam-packed. So we thank you. God bless you. Also, Parenting for Eternity, you have written, both available through TAN Books.
Yes, absolutely. TanBooks.com.
Great. Thank you. God bless you. Connor Gallagher, thank you for all you do. Thank you also to Father Doug Brown for joining us on the program. He is a chaplain of the Cleveland Police Department. My name is Brooke Taylor, in for Kale Clark. Trending with Timory is up next. God bless you.